Your brain needs support, and new Ollie Brainy Chews are a delightful way to take care of your cognitive health. Made with scientifically backed ingredients like Thai ginger, L-theanine, and caffeine, Brainy Chews support healthy brain function and help you find your focus, stay chill, or get energized. Be kind to your mind and get these nootropic chews at Ollie.com. That's OLLY.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Everybody, what is going on? Happy Tuesday. Welcome on in. Charlie on Outkick coming your way. Okay, well, we're here in New York City. This is where I do the show each and every day. I've lived here for 7 years. And I will definitely say things are hitting a fever pitch here. They're worse than ever. It's absolutely horrible on so many different fronts. And just to put it very blankly, shit is definitely hitting the fan here in the Big Apple. It is complete chaos on the Columbia University campus, as you probably all have already heard so many extreme examples of. There's a pro-Palestine group who has already been suspended for their hateful behavior, having all of these anti-Israel protests constantly. Classes were forced to go remote to protect Jewish students for fear of their lives, and for really good reason, because these moronic Palestinian activists, they've been blocking Jewish students from even entering the campus. You ask me, this is pretty reminiscent of back in 1938 when the Nazis were blocking Jewish students from entering Vienna University. I don't see much of a difference in the two comparisons. Well, now Columbia donors are taking note of this disgusting degeneracy. And that does include a man that we all know well in the sports world. That would be 1963 Columbia University alum Robert Kraft, who is putting an end to his donations while the university, for whatever reason, refuses to end the anti-Semitic activities that are happening on campus. So he put out this statement saying, quote, "I am deeply saddened at the virulent hate that continues to grow on campus and throughout our country. I am no longer confident that Columbia can protect its students and staff, and I am not comfortable supporting the university until corrective action is taken." Good for Robert Kraft. He's among a handful of very wealthy donors who have stopped donating to several different universities around the country, Harvard being another one of them we saw earlier this year because of all of the ridiculous and hateful behavior that was taking place on campus. Now, I talk about New York City being wild and chaotic on so many different fronts. Aside from Columbia University, also happening yesterday on NYU's campus, there were also protests, but before I even get to that, there was also a professor on Columbia University's campus. His name was Shai Davide. He was unable to even walk freely onto campus to go do his job. Okay, these are students who are so brash and bold to think like, okay, I can keep my fellow students off of campus, right? Like, kind of tit for tat, you're my age, right? I don't feel so intimidated. For them to have the audacity to stand up to a grown adult who is trying to go onto campus to do his job and not allow him because of his ethnic background is absolutely disgusting. Listen to this.
This is the sound of civil rights being denied of a Jewish professor. I want you all to remember this sign.
Did you get any prior notice?
I emailed them and they wouldn't respond. I got an email 2 a.m. yesterday calling this a counter-protest, and I said, no, this is not a counter-protest. This is a Jewish professor who has a right to be on campus.
Absolutely absurd. Okay, so as I was just getting to, Columbia University seeing its fair share of violent and hateful behavior, but also yesterday on NYU's campus, same thing occurring. Police, they were making arrests last night in order to break up more anti-Israel protests. Police told them to disperse, to go home. What did they do? Instead of listening, they formed a human chain. They also proceeded to denounce capitalism and started to stomp on the Israeli flag. I am very embarrassed for these low lives, and I'll just give a little anecdote of my own yesterday. I was on a run, and I was running from, you know, above Union Square. We all probably aren't super familiar with the landscape in Manhattan. I was running from above where NYU's campus was to below it. And I was physically on a run. I was working out. And they were blocking off the entire sidewalk with a pro-Palestinian protest. And instead of going around, I just decided to carry on with my normal life and a run as I would in any other day under any other circumstance. I ran straight through the protest, which for a second I thought to myself, am I going to come out okay on the other side? And like, God forbid I was. But it's just disgusting that you even have to deal with it. It drives me nuts, especially living here and seeing that the police aren't really able to do anything. I'm happy, though, they did exercise a little bit of control and make some arrests on that front last night. Now, finally, to cap off all of this chaos that's going on in New York City, there was a New York high school soccer game that was supposed to be taking place, at least, in East Harlem the other night. It was canceled after a group of about 30 migrants who were playing a game of their own on the field refused to leave the field even after the cops showed up. Again, cops in many of the blue cities around the country unable to do their jobs because their power has been stripped away from them, unfortunately. The migrants, they finally did make their way off of the field. At this point, the game had already been delayed 30 minutes or so and was way off schedule. But at that point, the high school teams decided they didn't even feel safe to be on that field any longer. So they just decided not to play the game at all. The game was canceled because of these migrants who shouldn't be in this country in the first place, shouldn't be on that soccer field in the first place, and because the cops were not able to do their job swiftly and promptly. So just a myriad of different things that's going on in the city. It's very scary. I feel for the students, for the professors, for anybody who is unable to carry on their daily lives because of lawlessness, because of hate, because of everything that's taking place. And I really hope that we can find a solution here. And I hope these pro-Palestinian activists get what's coming to them. And whether that happens in the form of not getting jobs when they graduate, whether that comes in the form of being doxxed on social media, I don't know. But they obviously do not understand what they're doing. And it's just becoming like an infectious disease where I feel like even people who normally wouldn't stand on the side of anti-Israel are kind of just falling into peer pressure. And you do notice one thing that all of these protesters have in common. Generally, they all wear masks. Why? Because they're afraid. They don't want their identities revealed. And why wouldn't you want your identity revealed if you feel so strongly about this cause? One more thing to check out when you have a little bit of time. Alec Baldwin completely freaked out at a pro-Palestine activist. I believe this took place yesterday. It was in a coffee shop. They said to Alec, make sure you say free Palestine, say free Palestine, say free Palestine. Then they started taunting him about the debacle that he ran into on the set of Rust where the gun went off. And they were taunting him about not getting jail time, even though he killed someone. He kept his calm for a while. I actually have to give him a lot of credit. I don't know if I would have had that same patience. He tried to get the store employee to escort this person out of the door, and the employee didn't want to get his hands dirty in it, which I understand also. You know, people just want to mind their own business these days. But eventually, this activist just kept going and going and going, and Alec Baldwin just kind of snapped a little bit, and he smacked the phone out of the activist's hand. So I must say, cheers to Alec Baldwin on this Tuesday. Now with that, let's go ahead and bring in Outkick contributor Mike Gunzelman for a little bit more reaction. Oh, Guns,
yo.
I'm going to need you to bring me back down because I am heated up. I am heated up.
Coming out hot on a Tuesday, Charlie. What is going on with our city? What is going on with our city of New York, Charlie? It's like, you know, we moved here. It's supposed to be the greatest city in the world, the whole entire thing. And at one point it was. I went to college here, went to Fordham University, never left since. And it's not ideal. And if I was going to give advice to people, I would tell them, especially the younger people, don't come here. Don't come to New York City. It is not nearly the pinnacle of life anymore, you know? And it's very unfortunate. And even, you know, when you started speaking, it was just like, oh, did you hear about New York City? It's like, what disaster did they do now? We have so many bad things that are happening, and this isn't overblowing it. This is truly happening because, you know, New York kind of sets the tempo, kind of sets the storyline for the rest of the country. You know what I mean? Whether it's the time difference or whatever it is, it's New York City for a reason. You know, if something goes bad in New York City, every single news station is on it from a national standpoint. But there's nothing good that's happening right now from a financial, from a tax standpoint, from a safety standpoint, which is massively important, to also just the fact that it just doesn't feel ideal anymore. You know what I mean? Charlie, talk to me here.
Yeah, you know, here's what I think. I think for someone to come to New York City, you are chasing something, right? You're chasing a dream of yours. You have a lot of ambition. You know, you realize that there's going to be some difficulties that come along with living in New York City, right? It's so expensive. You don't get the space that you would get somewhere else for five times the amount of money you end up paying. You know, but you come here because the advantages still outweigh the disadvantages, right? You have the best, you have the best restaurants in the world. You have phenomenal entertainment, nightlife. The people that you encounter are unmatched, right? You will never meet the same type of people in New York City anywhere else in this country because they just don't exist. That everybody flocks to New York City for a reason. They are all go-getters for the most part. It makes them very interesting. However, now I feel like someone who has an established career, someone who is making enough money to live very comfortably in New York City, I still feel like, what am I doing here? Like I said, yesterday, Guns, I had to run through a pro-Palestine protest. I mean, they were taking up the entire sidewalk, and it wasn't one of those really skinny sidewalks. It was one of the, you know, double, triple wide ones that's right off of Union Square. And I had nowhere to go. Either I run out into the street or I run through the protest. And I'm like, you know what? Like, this is a public sidewalk. I'm not going to inconvenience myself for all of you idiots. And it's just things like that that make you wonder, like, why am I still living here when nothing's done about all of this horrendousness, when police can't really do their jobs? And it also just makes you feel very unsafe, especially for me as a woman living in a place like this.
Yeah, I mean, it used to be, you know, the city of opportunity. We would grind, we hustled. I mean, I did it, you did it as well. I'm sure, you know, some of the viewers did. I mean, that was what you did in New York City. We're going to live in a small apartment, you're going to spend a ton of money, but guess what? It was opportunity, you were going to network, you were going to be able to experience everything. But now the tide has shifted. And as we see in Columbia, especially right now, because this is kind of what happens, you know, college campuses for decades have always been kind of like the place for, like, you know, for protests or whatnot. But what happened here was after October 7th with the, you know, the horrible Jewish attacks that happened, we saw what happened with universities and the presidents, instead of kind of like setting a precedent and coming out and disavowing and distancing and saying, hey, we don't support this, they instead appeased. And they allowed that to happen, whether it was Harvard, whether it's Columbia, whether it's Yale, they allowed that and they set the narrative. And what's happening now is a lot of these groups, I went down a wormhole on this one, especially the one that's happening in Columbia, they are backed. These aren't just random things that pop up in a local town or whatnot. They are financially backed by huge liberal far left groups that are happening. They're affiliated with, like, the big oil, you know, the anti-oil and also like the green movement and all this. It is a coordinated effort. This George Soros went down that wormhole as well. George Soros has been backing some of these groups as well. So that's, they didn't realize what they were doing. They thought that by appeasing them that this would go away. And now they find themselves in a tremendous and a terrible problem here. Charlie, I looked it up. It costs, let me give you the exact figure. It costs $89,000 for room and board at Columbia a year. $89,570. Are you kidding me? And you're going remote now? Every single one of those students should file a class action lawsuit and demand their money back, at least. Because what are you dropping all your money for if your own university cannot guarantee your safety because of what they allow to happen themselves? That is ridiculous. And then these presidents and these universities are going to demand funding and say, like, oh, we don't know why people aren't coming here and all this. Well, guess what? It's right in front of you, you idiots. You allowed this to happen. And that's why people are starting to realize, hey, maybe a degree isn't worth it. Maybe, you know, maybe experience or you know, maybe go to like a middle tiered school rather than deal with this BS where you don't even know if you can go to classes. And oh, yeah, guess what? You can't, because it's going to go remote because they allowed this chaos to happen. It's crazy to me.
Yeah, I mean, like you said, this is a very expensive university to not be able to safely walk onto your campus to attend class. And then for classes just to automatically go remote because the teachers and administration don't want to deal with any potential consequences of students getting injured or who knows, maybe even worse, killed on campus by these lunatics. They just decide to go remote. And it's like, why instead of going remote, don't you just remove the problem? It just doesn't make any sense. I'm blown away by the lack of action by the administration.
One of my favorite things is, what are all these people doing that they can just post up on tents and just, they've been hanging out for days now. Like, what are you doing? Like, how must be nice. Those kickbacks must be pretty nice in New York City. I sure as hell aren't getting those. But for them to be able to post up in tents, be able to protest and do all this stuff. And what we're seeing now, though, it goes beyond just this issue. They're using this issue and they're going to keep, you know, moving the goalposts, which is why if you appease to a certain extent, it's going to come back and hurt you further down the line. And that's what we're seeing now, because now they're chanting. Some of them are chanting debt to America. And now you're dealing with the whole entire foreign policy thing. And then I read one of the mission statements for one of the protest groups. And they're like, we don't agree with any land grabbing, including in Harlem. They brought up Harlem. So now you're they're equating Israel, Palestine to Harlem. It just doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
And what's unfortunate about the whole thing is, college is where you go to kind of like learn about diverse opinions and perhaps meet people that you might not have in your small town or wherever you're from or any of that. I mean, I went to school in New York City. I've met so many different people. But when it comes out like this, these protests and what's happening now is there's no communication going on. You know what I mean? It's not a two-way street. It's their way or no way. And it's also bringing in fear, because a lot of what these chants and things are going on, it's frightening to anybody. And nobody is standing up to it. And when you add so they're just getting away with it. And when you add the social media, and this has to be mentioned, when you add like the social media element to it, the TikTok element, okay? People don't know what the hell they're even talking about and are jumping on board with this kind of stuff. We saw just a couple months ago, Bin Laden trending on TikTok, and some people saying that America deserved 9/11. These people like, what are you talking about? We had people that were actively supporting Bin Laden that are American citizens and the youth of this country. That is a problem. Mm-hmm. That is an issue. And that is like a fundamental ingraining that has shifted in recent years across the country.
Yeah, the whole oppressed versus oppressor mentality has gotten out of control. Not to mention, it's not just, like you said, people supporting Palestine. It's at this point, they're not just supporting Palestine, they're also becoming very hateful towards the country that they're living in. The reason they have all of the freedoms that they wouldn't have if they lived in a place like Gaza, for example. And it's just, they're burning flags. They're saying death to America. It's gotten completely out of control. We need the administration at these campuses to step up and just put an end to this nonsense. And I need the police to be able to do their jobs. I say arrest every last one of them who is spewing hate, who is causing an inconvenience to people trying to get by on their day-to-day lives. If you are blocking traffic, you get thrown in jail. If you're blocking the sidewalk, you get thrown in jail. If you're saying something that is incendiary or threatening to somebody else, throw them in jail. Let's just fill the jails up with all of these morons and call it a day, if you will. But from some woke nonsense to other woke nonsense guns, we have a writer for USA Today who is now speaking out about Caitlin Clark's shoe deal and saying that it's an issue because, according to him, this is the post that he put up. His name is Mike Freeman. He said, no black WNBA players have a signature shoe. Here's why that's a gigantic problem. Then he goes on to just talk about all of the issues with why Caitlin Clark and the greatness that she represents, the reason why we have so many different people paying attention to women's basketball right now, why she does not deserve to have the shoe deal because, let's just be very frank about it, because she's white.
Right. You know, heck of a job there by Mike Freeman. Go and attack the one thing that has brought more attention to your sport than anything else ever has. You're going after the equivalent of Michael Jordan right now for your sport. You know, and you're going to attack and tear that down, you psychopath, you idiot. But Charlie, this is what happens, though, when you get a job for race and inequality editor. You have to fabricate these stories that don't exist just to justify Max Freeman's job to his boss, and he's probably going to end up getting fired anyway, because race and inequality editor, what are you doing here? Here's the bottom line. We have now gotten to this point where they make up stories that truly don't exist. The beauty about sports is we can prove this. Sports fans just want to see the best competition. We don't care if they're male, female, what color they are, what denomination, race, anything like that. We just want it. We will root for anybody as long as they're good. And that always comes true in sports. All right, Mike Freeman? We truly don't. Caitlin Clark would still be getting rooted if she was Black, if she was Chinese, if she was Indian, whatever the hell she was, because she is dominant. And that's all sports fans care about, Mike Freeman. So when you bring up this stuff, it's shameful, it's ignorant, and it's wrong. And it's you're supposed to be a journalist? Yeah, right. Journal this, my friend, because like you're making it sound pretty hot today. I'm pretty hot this morning. Mike Freeman pissed me off. So like the bottom line is you put up these narratives and they're not true, but people will jump on board for this. And then all you're doing is sowing division rather than praise and, you know, and be like, wow, look at all this that's happened. You're going against it. By the way, 12 African-American WNBA athletes have had shoe deals in the past. And does he really think Nike of all people are not going to support African-American Black people? Nike? Like it just doesn't make sense. And it's frustrating. It's frustrating because truly as a sports
Well, it's the same.
Serena Williams.
It's the same type of person.
It's BS.
Yeah. It's the same type of person that would side with him on this argument that is also making the argument that WNBA players deserve to be making the same amount of money as NBA players. They're just ignorant and not understanding what business entails, right? The reason that Nike wanted to work with Caitlin Clark is A, she has truly become the face of women's basketball. Yeah. And they know for them that's going to equal sales. I mean, just look at her jersey sales the day of the draft. She sold out every single size of her jersey. The Fanatics website came crashing down. They completely sold out in an hour because people want to be a part of the Caitlin Clark story, which means when her shoe comes out, what do you think is going to happen? They're going to want to buy a pair of the Caitlin Clark signature shoe. Nike knows that. They want to make money. This has not, it wouldn't matter. Like you said, it wouldn't matter if she was a different skin color. If she had the same type of hold on sports fans. As a different colored woman, then it wouldn't make a difference. So it's just, you know, the people then that also make, they should be making the same amount of money. It's business. It has nothing to do with anything other than revenue share and dollars. And these people just need to get it through their minds when they find any reason to complain.
If Mike Freeman truly cared about the sport that he claims that he cares about, what he should have done is embrace Caitlin Clark like these companies are doing. Why? Because here's the deal. You know, every single like young girl out there is going to buy this shoe. It's like when I was growing up and like Shaq had his shoes, of course, the Jordans, et cetera. Mm-hmm. You saw the movement that made. You should embrace it because guess what? Say like, I don't know, like Indiana gets like, you know, maybe an African-American center or whatnot. And all of a sudden, Caitlin Clark's dishing the ball down low and then the center starts ripping. Like that's the effect that she's able to have. It has nothing to do with freaking skin color. Like embrace it. Like the average sports fan, I would say 3 WNBA players, they probably can't even name 2, if we're being honest. They probably can't even name 2. So why
and now
would you attack
everybody
the one good
knows
thing?
Who and Caitlin Clark is.
And they'll know about the opponents and they'll know about her teammates and you'll build it up. And instead, he's got to come in with this false BS narrative and bring up race when sports fans don't give a damn. Stop with the BS. We don't care. We just want to see good competition. We'll root for anybody if they're crushing it, you fool.
Yeah. And we are now rooting also, not that we already weren't, for Angel Reese because she put out a post that I don't think most people were expecting from her this week. And that was a post that she put up that said, we'll show it right here, keeping it very basic, simple, protect young women in sports. Now, guns. This comes right on the heels of Title IX being revised last week. This comes right on the heels of West Virginia having a federal court of appeals, strike down their ban on transgenders competing in female sports divisions. I don't know. I don't know what Angel Reese is trying to say, if she just solely is talking about protect young women in sports, or if she is trying to point more towards another larger issue at hand. But either way, this is great. These are the type of athletes we need speaking up on behalf of women. This is fantastic.
Yeah, it's interesting because I don't know. All we have is that one sentence from her. So I don't know what she truly means there. And the timing of it is just kind of, it's interesting because it came, you know, the Biden stuff and the Title IX stuff. So I don't know. I don't know her motivations or what her true beliefs is because she hasn't really said anything in the past. So I don't want to give too much credit, but I also don't want to rip her either because I don't know. But I don't know what she means by young women. I don't know.
No, I don't think there would be any reason to rip her in general. I just think it's great that, you know, she's lending her voice to a group that in a lot of cases needs it right now. So we love to see that. And she's definitely won over a lot of male sports figures, really big names. So
and women's
definitely
sports, obviously, you know, looking to, that and the Caitlin Clark effect and somebody like an Angel Reese. I mean, you know, for those things, like the women's sports narrative has completely changed in recent years because, you know, lots of times the women Olympics, you know, the women Olympics are more exciting for Team USA than the guys these days in recent years. People can name many more female, you know, whether it's gymnastics or whatnot compared to males ever since like Michael Phelps. Michael Phelps is probably the last Olympian I can name, or the average person can name. And of course, we can name like Simone Biles and more. So, you know, the last couple of years have just been a tremendous shift in women's sports for sure. And then obviously like the Caitlin Clark effect. So it's a good time for, you know, women's sports and the push for them and more people to be able to find out about it. Let's go. Unless you're Mike Freeman. Unless you're Mike Freeman.
I'm laughing because our next story is just so ridiculous and disgusting. And we're talking about the Olympics and guns. The Paris Olympics has a real, real doozy of a problem on their hand. There was supposed to be a triathlon, which of course involves a swimming segment. But now that might have to be converted to a duathlon, which I believe it already is headed in that direction, because the city's Seine River, that's the beautiful river that runs all throughout Paris. I mean, it's like very iconic, very scenic. It's gorgeous. It's so polluted with dangerous levels of bacteria and feces that they're saying it's just not safe for athletes to be submerging themselves in it, which, thank God, I would be so happy to have this information before sticking myself into a feces-filled body of water. But here's the real facts. According to France's Surfrider Foundation, which has been monitoring the country's water levels for over 20 years now, samples in recent weeks and months have turned up at least 4 times the World Triathlon health standards. So, I mean, 4 times the amount of shit that's allowed to be in a river is in the river. I mean, first of all, I wouldn't want to be in a river that has any poop in it. Yeah, I don't want to be, if there's feces in, I just don't want to put my body into that. 4 times the amount, like that's disgusting. You're definitely going to come out of there with like a rash of some sort or like a disease that's incurable. And, you know, so now I guess all of the swimming work that they've been putting in to train is going out the window a bit.
Charlie, you like to stir crap up. You don't like to swim in crap, is what you're telling us. You are a crap stirrer. You like to start the storm, but you don't want to swim in a rash. Oh my God.
No, thank you.
Great job, Paris. So not only this is what we've seen in the last couple months. So not only does Paris have a massive bed bug problem, they've had bed bugs that people are freaking out about because they can't get rid of them, and they're all over the city. All over the city. I reported on this about 5 months ago, and they were trying to drop like millions upon millions of dollars to try and get rid of them, and they did. So good luck to all the journalists and people going over there. You sleep in a bubble. You know what I mean? Like, good luck with that. And then the second thing is this: they've known this for months, and they can't clean the effing river. Are you kidding me? It's too early for this.
I mean, also
literal BS. But like you're dealing with the best athletes in the world, Okay, you can't subject them to something like this. You shouldn't subject any human being to something like this. But when you really think about it,
think about all the drunk people that probably jump into this river on a nightly basis.
Yeah, but you know what? Probably true. But at least they're not representing Team USA.
Yes.
Team USA has literally, you invest your whole entire life. Imagine this, you invest your whole entire life. You miss weddings, you miss funerals, you miss birthday parties, you miss hangouts, you miss all this because you got to train, double session, triple session. You're going to training before you go to high school classes, everything, all that stuff. And then you get to your Olympics, the biggest moment of your life. Oh, sorry, we can't. Our river is full of feces and unsafe bacteria. Paris, you like, what are you doing here? So yeah, the fact that the triathlon might become a duathlon, whatever it's called, duathlon, whatever, is wild to me. But you know what, Charlie, last week, you might recall, we talked about those new skimpy bathing suits that are out there. If you're on the triathlon and you're wearing this, there ain't no protection. There ain't no protection for your body swimming in this bacteria mess based on those new bathing suits we saw last week.
Yeah, I mean, this is definitely Paris wanted at this point in time, especially when they, you know, put out so many of the health standards and environmental standards that we abide by throughout the rest of the world. And then meanwhile, they have the Seine filled with feces. Exactly. Here's the good news. Even though they can't swim, they can get a delicious croissant. They can get some escargot. I'm a big fan of the food in Paris. So if I'm an Olympian competing in Paris, I'm still excited. And cool. I don't know. Swimming seems like a horrible time as it is. So I wouldn't be so sad to have that portion ripped out of my competition.
Are you, not bad. Yeah, I was a lifeguard, so God help us. The fact that I was in charge of protecting people shows all that you need to know. That was frightening. I would get $50 every rescue. So we used to give $20 or $50 to our friends, younger brothers or sisters to pretend that they were drowning. So we would get the $50. So that's where we're coming from.
We only hire those with the highest of integrity here at Outkick. So that's how White Guns has his job here.
Allegedly.
Okay, Guns, I'm going to let you go now. You are awesome as always. Stay out of the Seine River if you happen to make your way over to France this summer.
Hey, Mike Freeman, call me.
Call him. Hit him up.
Bring it. See ya.
Outkick the Morning will be right back after a short break. Stay tuned.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Okay, so swimming in the Seine, not something I'm interested in. Also working out at Planet Fitness, something I'm also not interested in, especially now given the current climate. We just had the biological man, trans woman, shaving in the girls' locker room, only to be confronted with a small girl who is now beyond traumatized, I can imagine. But instead of really realizing the errors of their ways, Planet Fitness is doubling down, now hiring a new CEO who has gone all in on DEI in her past. Her resume is full of it. Her name is Colleen Keating. And I just don't understand what exactly is on Planet Fitness's mind, because this is something that just doesn't add up in my mind. Planet Fitness, they should be trying to get themselves out of the mess that they've created for themselves. Instead, doubling down, hiring someone who has made a pledge to continually strive to diversify our workforce, hiring through a DEI lens and find talent in multiple locations and backgrounds. I don't know. This just doesn't feel like the move right now for Planet Fitness. Not to mention, Planet Fitness is just a god-awful place to work out in general. If you've never been into a Planet Fitness, it looks like a a character from Sesame Street went inside the gym and threw up all over the place. It's just completely purple and yellow. Aesthetically, it is not pleasing. And then in addition to that, which I find to be ultra hypocritical, because Planet Fitness wants to make sure that everyone feels like they belong in a, you know, very inclusive environment. They want to strive to embrace diversity and let people be who they are. Yet, this is a gym, and they don't support people working hard in the gym because they have something called a lunk alarm in Planet Fitness. And what it is if they find someone to be exerting too much energy and exhibiting that they're exerting too much energy, let's say a guy's lifting weights and he grunts or groans, which quite frankly, if you're working hard, some of those noises are going to escape your body. The lunk alarm goes off. So there's a pause to all workout activity. Everyone stops and starts to judge the person who's responsible for setting off the lunk alarm. This doesn't feel like a very inclusive environment to me, especially when the whole purpose of being in a gym is supposed to be that you're working hard and getting in shape. So these two things definitely don't go hand in hand. Planet Fitness needs to figure it out. Although I know for certain I stopped working out there. I never really worked out there regularly. But when I was on the road with WWE, let's say in a random city somewhere in the middle of the country, I would go to a Planet Fitness to get a workout in. That was the only times I would go. And unless I have zero other options, I will never step foot in a Planet Fitness ever again anyway. So, okay, everybody. There you go. Don't work at a Planet Fitness. Don't swim in the Seine River. Those are the two final pieces of advice I leave you with today. Make sure you're following me on social media at Charlie on TV. And tomorrow, new episode coming your way. Stay tuned. See you then.